to the Lord for them. It's time to check in, time to let folks know that you're here. If you're joining us through Facebook or through our website, one of the two, if there's a little bit of a delay, hey, listen, just be patient. But this is time to check in and just give some comments. Good morning, church family. And again, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome. Welcome. We welcome you, whether it's your first time or you're part of the church family. If it is the first time, we welcome you. Listen, if nothing else, we're learning that the church is not the building. We're welcoming you to a people, a faith family that's committed to knowing God and making Him known. And listen, we look forward to the day that we can gather corporately and enjoy. Listen, I'm looking for the day where we can just show some affection again, right? And greet each other and just, it'll be a lot better, all right? But we are glad that you're here. And listen, this is hopefully, let's continue to pray. I was really hopeful that we could meet this Sunday. It is the Sunday of the Christian calendar, but by God's providence, we're not able to do that. So we rejoice that He's still in control, and we welcome you. So again, make sure you share, you let others know, you check into Pines Baptist, however that works, okay? Make sure you do that so we can all enjoy our time together. All right, we're going to go to God's Word in just a moment, and then we have some announcements toward the end, and that's it. So let me pray, and again, welcome to Pines Baptist, and let me pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to gather, even though, again, we remain scattered throughout the communities. But we can gather in your name and for your glory here online. We would pray that those that are joining us perhaps for the very first time, that you would speak to them specifically and specially. But that you would also do your work as only you can through your word to the rest of your children. That we would hear a word from you, we would be encouraged. Meet with us now. Help us. We want to put a smile on your face. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, that's right, amen. I can't hear it, but I sort of feel it. Sort of like Spidey sense type thing. But hey, listen, again, interact. I love reading the comments afterwards. I go through the Facebook feed, and I'm so glad that you guys are interacting and commenting one with the other. And listen, I am sure, especially glad of those of you who are gone, and I can think of one family, one person in particular. She picks up someone else from our church, brings her back home, and this one person doesn't know the technology, the other one does, but they come together, all right, and they enjoy this time together in God's Word. All right, so again, welcome to Pines. Listen, how'd you do this last week? How did you do this last week? Well, did you feed the fear, or did you feed the faith? Remember from last week, I still have my little saying here, depending on how you answer this, right? Listen, if you're feeding the fear, God is nowhere. You're still panicking. You're still uncertain. You're still freaking out. And I'm not trying to trivialize that. There's some tough times. Some folks really had some tough times. This was a turning point for some and for many this week. But if you're feeding the fear, God is nowhere. But if you're feeding your faith, even amidst the pandemic, even amidst the uncertainty, God is now here. God is now here. He remains. Listen, God is not out of control. God has not lost control of his creation. So how did you do? How did you do this past week? If you found yourself on feeding the fear more than faith, there's time. This is the first day of the week. This is the Lord's day. And you can make it a better week by concentrating, focusing on His Word and responding to His Word through prayer. So make it a priority. Did you watch the videos? We sent it out. We sent out some links. We don't have the praise team with us here, but we sent out some links that you were able to, hopefully you clicked on them. You listened to the music. Listen to the reality. Some of the lyrics are still running through my mind. You know, our sins are many, but His mercy is more. Did you listen to that one? If you didn't, go back. Do that. The last one by Phil Wickham, A Living Hope. Let me just read you some of these lyrics, because they'll frame our Bible study together, okay? It says, how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. Amen. I sure hope that that's a reality for you. And with this in mind, listen, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles or open your Bible up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you feeling disconnected? Are you feeling isolated? Listen, Peter's writing to people that felt like you and more. Okay, you're going to pick it up right when we start our Bible study. Peter understood, and Peter spoke, and Peter ministered to people who were spread. They were scattered. Okay, I'm going to read 1 through 9, even though our focus will be verses 3 through 5. But let me give you some context. Chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 9. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Listen, as I'm preparing for this morning, and by the way, notice coat and tie Sunday, right? Listen, Resurrection Sunday, you got to dress up. I got some folks in here that dressed up. Others, not so much. But we have a couple. So listen, coat and tie. As I prepared for this morning, I read the story of a pastor in the 1900s who always seemed to be overflowing with gratitude about something. He pastored a small church in a farming community, and everyone knew him for his thankful spirit. Every time the congregation met, they knew their pastor would thank God for something, and he would rarely repeat himself. In fact, this became part of the highlight. They anticipate as they gather together, what is he going to give thanks for next or this Sunday? One particular weekend brought an unexpected snowstorm with sharp, bitter winds that blew in from the north. And as the little flock rode their horse-drawn carts or trudged through the snow to church, they wondered what the pastor could possibly be thankful for on such a day. As the service opened and he stood to pray, they couldn't help but smile when they heard him say, "Listen, Heavenly Father, we thank you that not every day is as bad as this one." Isn't that perspective? Not every day will be as bad as this. Better days will come. Better days will come. Child of God, keep that in mind. That's why we turn to God's Word, so we can find comfort for our troubled hearts. What we need now is not just a pep talk. We don't need a motivational speaker with a Christian spin. We need God's Word. explain. We need to have God's word before us so it can comfort our troubled hearts. Better days are on the horizon. When you look at Peter, he's writing to people in the first century that didn't have much to be thankful for. If you really think about it, listen, they couldn't imagine much in life. They were facing a snowstorm of trouble, trials that would probably bury them. This wasn't what they expected. So Peter understands this. And before the advent of technology, he picks up a quill and he writes a letter. And he writes a letter to these people who are spread. They're part of the dispersion, to those, verse 1, elect exiles of the dispersion of the diaspora. They are spread throughout. He writes to them and he says, listen, you can be thankful. Even when life really is turned upside down, you can be thankful. If you received the outline, this is the first thing you're going to fill in. My sermon in a sentence. Regardless of the difficulties we face, we can praise God for, here are the two words, salvation blessings. Salvation blessings. That's what you're going to see right off the bat. This is a letter. He doesn't go straight to the problem. He understands the problem. He writes in context. He knows it. But in light of that, he still goes and says, you can praise God for salvation blessings. This is how you and I should respond to the dangers and the snares of life. Now, you may be thinking, listen, you don't understand, Pastor. I don't have employment. Listen, I'm afraid. I was on the verge of getting fired. There's a whole mess of problems in my life. I was being treated unfairly. I don't know if I'm going to ever get work back. I have a good friend that turned against me. Even now, listen, right? Even now we get saints and sinners. Even in the midst of this, we got saints, people going out of their way to donate services, to make masks, to do things right, and to make things available to people. And then, we have others that are taking advantage of it. You see it every so often. You read the news, you read it in the blogs. You see it on social media. You capture the newscast, saints and sinners, no matter what. But listen, the reality is that when Peter wrote, he understood people were hurting. Peter wrote to troubled Christians. You see it again. They were spread through Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These persecuted believers needed real hope for difficult times. They suffered no less than you and I are suffering. No less. Much more, though. They were being persecuted. If you read 1 Peter, you'll see that Christian slaves, slavery was a reality back then. They were being treated unfairly by their masters. Read chapter 2. Christian wives, hey, wife in Christ. Listen, they were being misrepresented. They were being mistreated by unbelieving husbands. Read chapter 3. The reality is many of these believers had lost former friends, and now these friends, former friends, were attacking them. Chapter 3, chapter 4. And they were likely to face martyrdom. And in the midst of this pain, Peter understands it. He understands the problem. He diagnoses it. There's problems. There's trials. He identifies it there in verse six. You're gonna rejoice even though as you're facing troubles. What is his remedy? What does he prescribe in light of his reader's pain as a steady diet of grateful praise? Again, notice, blessed be the God. To bless God is to speak well of. Not that he needs you and me, but that just reveals a heart attitude. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance. To an inheritance. Are you having trouble right now looking at eternity in light of your present circumstances? Listen. If the idea of a future inheritance in heaven doesn't affect you the way it should, you and I may be suffering of one of two problems. Number one, we don't know the Lord. Okay, that's why the future, there's no hope. This doesn't make sense. God is nowhere. We don't know the Lord. We haven't surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't established a relationship with the God of heaven through His Son, sacrificed and risen Savior. And if you don't have a relationship, of course, the thinking of a future inheritance makes no sense. It doesn't help me here now. But for you, child of God, perhaps you have bought into a wrong system of theology. Yeah, you know the Lord, but you actually think that the Bible tells you that you're going to live your best life right now. You're not. You're not. The reality is the best life is yet to come. Listen, there's these religious false teachers that they're telling you to fake it until you make it. They're trying to export a theology that's not biblical. A theology of health, wealth, and prosperity that doesn't work in Indonesia. It doesn't work in Iran. It doesn't work in Afghanistan. It doesn't work in Africa. It doesn't work in South America. What are you gonna export? It doesn't work. But many of us here in the West, we actually believe that our best life is right now. No, not necessarily. Many years ago, this religious health and wealth false teacher, Reverend Ike, maybe you don't know him. I found out about him as I prepared for this week. This is what he crassly said. I don't want my pie in the sky when I die. I want cash in the stash here and now. Now, you and I may not say it like that, but the reality that you and I behave like, hey, you know what? Heaven is nice, but I want the good life now. Why am I suffering? Listen, I came to Christ because God has a wonderful plan for my life. And He does. But that wonderful plan includes feasting on the riches of Christ, being your needs being met, enjoying the Lord, and having to experience unemployment. Having to experience health problems, having to experience a pandemic, having to experience COVID-19, having to experience lockdowns, having to experience what keeps us away from meeting this morning. God does have a wonderful plan, but it does include suffering. The Bible says in Philippians, you and I have been given the gift of believing in Christ and suffering for Him. Now, for you and me in the West, we don't think about that. But there's brothers and sisters around the globe that today, on top of the pandemic, they had issues because the government was in their business and kept them and arrested them because they represented the gospel. They're adding insult to injury. This is the problem that you and I need to face. The wonderful plan of God for you and me is to enjoy Christ as we live in this world full of trouble. As we live through this time in the United States of America and around the world. You and I need to stop and think what salvation means. You thinking that this is just, looking nice on Sunday morning and God owes me a favor? Because he should be so privileged that I'm His kid? No. Listen, if nothing else, this weekend reminds us that salvation is about those who justly deserve wrath have been given mercy. That's what we're looking at. This weekend, Crucifixion Friday, reminds us that you and I deserved wrath, but God in His mercy provides His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from the wrath through the death of Jesus Christ and His subsequent resurrection. Listen, if you're not saved, we use that in Christianese, I'm saved. You know what you're saved from? God's wrath. And if you're not saved, that means you're lost. If you're not saved, if I haven't been found, I'm still lost. If I haven't been rescued, I'm still in danger. See, one of the problems you and I have this morning is you and I are trying to get people saved who have no concept that they're lost. You and I will never value a rescue until we feel and suffer the drowning, the problem, the insufficiency. I can't do it on my own. But you and I are making it so easy by rubbing everybody and patting their self-esteem that we think, and we just have to make it easy. No. We have to make it biblical. And the reality is that, listen, if you don't understand how terrible it is to be without God, you won't understand or value the rescue. As a child of God, though, the flip side of that coin is you and I are trying to sweet-talk people who have forgotten what it feels like to be lost. My wife and I were walking this yesterday, Saturday, and we walked a very long time. Okay, a very long time. I'll tell you how much another time. Okay, but while we were walking, we were praying, we were laughing, and one of the things we pondered on Saturday, the day between Crucifixion Friday and Resurrection Sunday, Saturday gives us a moment to pause and say and think to each other, what would life be if Christ was not available. If Good Friday would have never happened, Resurrection Sunday would not happen, and Saturday, that day in between those two great events, my wife and I just pondered, what life would we be living if Christ was not available, if Christ had not died? You and I, living here in the West, tend to forget what it meant, how it felt to be without hope. And when it does that, then we're trying to just sweet talk. Hey, don't worry about it. You know, we try to make excuses for God, and it's going to get better. Listen, the reality is God is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Verses 3 through 5, let me draw your attention there. Verses 3 through 5 is the scope of our study. We find three benefits of salvation that give us a blessed assurance when life gets hard. Okay? And that's the focus. Here's the comfort. Okay, here's some comforting truths from God's word for our troubled hearts. Number one, if you have the outline, praise God. Verse 3, we have experienced, that's the word you want to write in there. We have experienced a new birth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Stop there. We have experienced a new birth. Don't miss it. Salvation is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Listen, let's talk about the new birth for a moment. One of my favorite guys, John Piper, gets to the heart of this verse, and he writes the following. Now, what is the main thing that God is doing here? The main thing is that God has caused new birth. His great mercy is the source of it. His raising Jesus from the dead is the historical triumph over death that makes it possible. Our living hope in a great inheritance flows from it. But the main work of God focused on here is the new birth. So let's focus on that. God caused us to be born again. One of the reasons we don't exult, we don't glory, we don't make a big deal like Peter does, is that we don't understand it or we don't believe it. God caused us to be born again. God fathered us into second being as children of God. We had no existence as His children. That which is born of the flesh is just flesh, Jesus said in John 3:6. But that which is born again of the Spirit is spirit. We had no living spiritual existence. We were what a human father and a mother and common grace could make of us. But then God came on us and caused us to be born again. He awakened a new life, the life of faith and hope in God, and the life of the Spirit in us. And that you should be saying amen. That's God working. That's why theologians call salvation monergistic. Monergism is one way. It is, comes from God to you and me. You know what we bring to the table when it comes to salvation? The sin that necessitates it. That's it. God provides everything else. He acts upon us. And Peter says, listen, He has caused us to be born again, reminding us of that language of the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. We're reminded that just as we were born physically, we need to be born spiritually. And just like you and I had nothing to do with our physical birth, how many of you contributed to His physical birth? Other than coming out of your mother's womb. What? No, exactly. We had nothing to do with our physical birth. We didn't will it. We didn't help the process. We didn't decide. We didn't say, I'd like to be born to these set of parents at this set of time. No, you and I had nothing to do with that. In the same way, you and I don't assist. Okay, we cannot assist in our spiritual birth. It comes from the life-giving power of God. Listen to the scriptures. John chapter 1. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is God acting upon our lives. Yes, did we exercise repentance and faith? Yes, that's God given. That's the result of that new birth. He opens our eyes, He unplugs our ears, He changes our heart, and we respond. He comes upon us. John chapter 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Resurrection right there. I will raise him on the last day. Let me ask you a question. How do you know you're alive? Well, better yet, how do you know you were born physically? When someone asks me, hey, how do you know you were born physically? Do I need to look for a birth certificate? No. I just can look at the person and say, I'm alive. You know why I was born physically? Because I'm right here. Okay, so how do you know you were born spiritually? See, most of us, especially Christians in America, we're going to start going and we're going to answer that with what we did. We seldom stop and say, I am alive today because God descended upon my life. I had no spiritual existence. I was an enemy of God. I wasn't looking for Him. And in His grace and mercy, He opened my eyes. And when He did, I had repentance and faith. See, the reality is, you're alive today because something God did in you. You're alive today in Christ because it started with Him. It doesn't start with you. Check out how Peter describes these benefits, the dynamics of this, of being born again, the reality that we have experienced a new birth. In your outline, letter A, we are born again by the mercy of God. Those are the three words, mercy of God. Listen, we need salvation because He is holy. We receive salvation because He's merciful. But don't get that mixed up. We need salvation because He is holy. We receive it because He's gracious. He is merciful. What God demands, God provides. The Bible's clear, Titus chapter 3. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Not like we can impress Him. Not like we say, hey, we did it. I'm wearing a coat and tie today. Whoop, 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 whoop. No. But according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We have been born again by the great, abundant, and overflowing mercy of God. Don't take credit. When you talk about how God has acted in your life, who's the subject? Is it you? Is it sin? Or is it God? Ask yourself that. Who's the hero of your story? It needs to be God, who has acted in mercy upon your life. Letter B, we are born again to a living hope. Those are the two words. A living hope. You see it there right from the text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. To a living hope. Listen, for the Christian, hope is subjective. It's something you and I have experienced. We feel it. We know that hope. Warren Wiersbe writes, hope is not a sedative. It is a shot of adrenaline, a blood transfusion. Like an anchor, our hope in Christ stabilizes us in the storms of life. But unlike an anchor, our hope moves us forward. It does not hold us back. Those are good words. Those are good words. The Christian hope is subjective, but the Christian hope is also objective. This is not just mere wishful thinking. Well, I'm hoping I won't gain too much weight during this pandemic. Because you know how it goes. You've seen the memes or you've heard it already. Not only do we need to wear masks outside of the home, we need to wear masks inside. Keep me from eating. If I keep going at this rate, I'm going to need a new front door. But this is not just mere wishful thinking. Oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. No, this is rooted. This is rooted as a settled expectation, rooted in the unwavering faithfulness and unchanging promises of God. Because those promises are built, are given by an unwavering and unchanging God. The great promise maker is the great promise keeper. And that's why Peter calls it a living hope. A living hope. What a contrast. Again, the Bible, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Look at the contrast. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, having no hope. That's the hopeless reality for those or of those who do not know the risen Savior. You're still without hope. Oh, you can have some man-made hope. You can have some mere wishful thinking. You can hope for this and hope for that. And listen, by God's common grace, some of this stuff is going to come through. We will get through this. And many who are turning to God will start shaking their fists at God because they didn't get their employment. Something happened. Something didn't go their way. And all of a sudden, the deliverer, the Savior is no good anymore. But the reality is, you and I who are born again have a living hope. The hope of this world is either dying or dead. But as worldly hope fades, living hope rises, gets stronger and greater. Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering, we're drilling down, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and this hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's the beauty of it all. You and I have been born again by the great mercy of God to a living hope. But look at letter C. We are born again through. It says it right there in the text. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, if Jesus stays in the grave, listen, our salvation would not be complete. The "it is finished" of Good Friday would not be completed, would not be real. The reality that Resurrection Sunday is a reality, that means that the God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of God the Son. That's the beauty of it all. In His death on the cross, Jesus bore our sins. But if He doesn't, is not raised bodily, He hasn't conquered sin and death ultimately. But you know He has. 1 Corinthians reminds us, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Peter had seen was an eyewitness of the risen Christ. He may have come, listen, he approached that reality with some doom and gloom. You remember all the disciples after, you know, the death of Christ. They're just, okay, all hope is gone. Let's go back fishing. Let's whatever. Pity party of one and whatever what that was. But then they experienced the risen Savior. And unlike, again, the worldly hope that fades, their hope grew. And Peter wants us to know that no matter how great our problems, we can praise God because our salvation comes from God, not from us. You and I don't have to keep ourselves saved in that we didn't earn it, so we rest in God. We rest in Him. Praise God, we have experienced a new birth. Amen? Sure hope you're saying amen to that. Number two, praise God. We have received, that's the key word, received a guaranteed inheritance. Verse 4, received a guaranteed inheritance. Look at it. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Our salvation, child of God, is an inheritance. Peter describes it as such. And we're assured that it's protected. Inheritance. Listen, I don't know about you, but I hate reading legal documents. I mean, the fine print is the fine. I guess that's how lawyers stay in business. They write it in such a way that you have to need them to interpret it. Or you need the little fine print and it doesn't sometimes make sense. I don't like. Listen, reading legal documents has to be one of the most ultimate boring activities. Here you go. Here, read this. 500-page, you know, sales contract. Right? Now, I'll tell you what. If you tell me that here's a will, and your name is in there, and you're about to receive an inheritance, that document, I'll read. I'll read, and I know you would too. We would do the same. And Peter says that our salvation is an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you and me. Now, of course, Christ Himself is our inheritance. What does He mean? Well, He includes all that Christ has provided and will provide for those whom He has purchased by His death. All that God is for you and me in Christ, that is our inheritance here, now, and in the heaven to come. Look at verse 4. We have three descriptions. Okay, of our inheritance. It's so vast, it's so indescribable, that Peter only describes it with negatives. Did you notice there in verse 4? All three of them are negative. They are imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Interestingly, on several occasions, the scriptures describe heaven with negatives. Let me just remind you. Revelation 21. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning. Or crying or pain. No death, no crying, no pain, no mourning. Heaven being described with negatives. Revelation 21, further down, says of the new or the heavenly Jerusalem, nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. No one. Again, described in the negative. Regarding the throne, the creatures around the throne. They do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Revelation 4. And regarding the number of people in heaven, it says there will be a great multitude which no one can count. Again, in the negative, Revelation chapter 7. Now, how does Peter, again, going back to the inheritance, how does he describe it? Look at it, letter A. You can probably fill in the blank right off the bat. You know where I'm going. Imperishable. Imperishable means that our salvation is free from death and decay. Listen, any human any human inheritance is subject to both death and decay. I can be waiting for an inheritance of billions, and I die before I get it. Listen, I may be the heir. I don't think I am. But I'm subject to that. I could easily lose it. But our heavenly inheritance, imperishable. It can't be destroyed. Letter B, undefiled. That means it's free from moral impurity or uncleanness of any kind. You see, earthly inheritance can be tainted. Have you ever heard all those people who win the lotto? Let's just pick on the lotto for a moment. Or an inheritance, you receive a bunch of money. Do you understand that families destroy one another? It's not just Hollywood. It's neighbors. It's people that you and I may know. That they have received, they've come into some money. And before you know it, they're miserable. And their families are miserable. Instead of being a blessing, family members fight over the share of the inheritance. Everyone is defiled by that kind of thinking. Our inheritance is undefiled and unfading. That's letter C, unfading. It's free from the ravages of time. It's free from the ravages of time. Listen, the reality is that what God has for us in Christ, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance kept in heaven. It's okay. God Himself is protecting that. Now you may ask yourself, well, that's all nice and all, but what happens if I don't make it? You know, I'm a child of God and I'm going to fall short. I'm never going to get to experience it because, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles. And, you know, Murphy's Law, I'm Murphy. If something's going to bad, it's going to happen. It's going to happen on me. Whoa. Listen, you know what's the beauty of all this? That God doesn't leave it up to you and me. The God who rescues is the God who delivers you. The God who rescues you from sin through Jesus Christ is the one who delivers you into His kingdom so you can enjoy the inheritance He has given you. That's why He doesn't leave it up to you. Praise God. Listen, we have experienced a new birth. Praise God, we have a guaranteed inheritance. And lastly, praise God, look at it there in verse 5. We are securely guarded. Those are the two words you need to fill in. We are securely guarded by God's power through faith. It says, verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 4 tells us that our inheritance is secure. Verse 5 tells us the inheritors are secure. That's you and me, child of God. Not only does He secure the inheritance, He secures you and me. The word thereby, who by God's power are guarded. The word guarded means is simply to watch over. It's a military term describing either a soldier that was assigned to watch over an important figure or a garrison of soldiers that was assigned to watch over an important place. And Peter uses this word here to remind the Christian that, listen, you and I can live with assurance no matter what we're suffering, no matter what we suffered this past week, no matter what we're going to be suffering later on this week, later on this day, you and I can live in full assurance that there's someone, capital S, watching over us. He's watching over us no matter the circumstance. The believer's security consists of one person. We talked about it. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen? That's our security team, one. Our security team is one. And that's more than enough, child of God. Listen, Peter knew this experientially. Let's just talk for a moment. It's Acts chapter 12 time, right? Acts chapter 12. Peter's arrested and sentenced to die. Herod has already put James, the brother of John, to death with the sword. And he sees that that pleased the Jews. He pleased the religious leaders, the community, the environment, the people there. And he says, wow, if I kill one, that was good. Imagine when I kill the next one. And he wants to do the same to Peter. But He had to wait. He had to wait until the Passover was over. In the meantime, he puts Peter in jail, in a prison, secured by, the Bible says, by four squadrons of soldiers. So he's securing Peter. But God is also guarding Peter. The Lord sends an angel to miraculously set Peter free. You can read it there in Acts 12. Peter immediately goes to Mary's house. The church was praying. Peter knew that. The church was praying. And as they're praying, can you imagine? As they're praying, the answer to their prayer knocks on the door. Now, Peter knows this. Peter knows this. And that's why he tells these troubled Christians, God is able to do far beyond what you may think. It happened to me, and it can happen to you. That's what he is saying. He has the power to guard you against the flesh, the world, and the devil. He says there, in verse 5, we're being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. A salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That means that now we now only enjoy a small part of what God has in store for us. Listen, we can't even begin to comprehend it all. We think that heaven is going to be a boring as in cartoons. We think that heaven's going to consist, listen right here, filming commercials for Angelsoft. Time and time and time again. Boring. No. Listen, the God who created this universe, He is very creative. He can keep us busy and enjoying that for an eternity. So don't think that you're just going to be on this angel soft cloud, okay, doing stuff, and it's going to be boring. No, because if that were boring, then God is boring. And you and I know that God's not boring. So our existence, our inheritance, what awaits us is definitely not boring. Our salvation is ready to be revealed like a statue waiting to be revealed. You see the word there, ready? Okay, a salvation ready. Listen. In chapter 4, verse 5, the same word appears where God is ready to judge the living and the dead. Both are prepared. Both are prepared. The future holds one or the other for every person. Either you and I wait to see the veil lifted on our salvation and we get to enjoy all that God has for us on the other side, or we're going to see the face of God in judgment. They're both prepared. They're both ready. What determines your future, what determines mine, is the face, or the phrase, through faith. You see it there? We're guarded through faith. We receive God's salvation and live the Christian life through faith. You may be thinking, I only wish I had that kind of faith. You do. You do. The problem is, it's most probably put in the wrong person, in the wrong object. See, if your faith is not in the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He did for you on the cross, it's no faith. It's no saving faith. It's not real. It's not going to deliver you from this present trouble into the bliss that awaits you and me. The best you really have is this. Can you imagine if this pandemic becomes permanent? Can you imagine if today becomes the best day? Listen, for the child of God, this can be like this, and we have the history, we have the testimony of God's people from cover to cover of God's Word, that God is still able to take care of us. That God is more than enough, even during these difficult times. If you believe that you're good enough to get into heaven, you're not. Good is not good enough. What He expects is perfect. And perfection, neither you or me, we have it. We fall way, way short. God says that no flesh, no one's going to boast in His sight. If you have a say in your salvation, then you can pound your chest. You can say, it was me. It was me. My intelligence, my efforts. No. You don't have a righteousness. You cannot achieve a right standing before God on your own. You need a righteousness outside of yourself. And that's why Jesus Christ provides. That's what He provides for you and me. By faith. See, the reality is that those of us who have tasted His mercy will persevere in faith until that great day when faith becomes sight. Amen? That's what we see here. That's the reality. Peter writing to a group of people who are going through some difficult times. He comforts them by saying, remember what God has done on your behalf. Remember what God has in store for you. Life stinks right now. Now you're scattered. You're running for your life. You don't know if your neighbor's going to snitch or not. But the reality is that beyond it all, God transcends it. And the salvation He provides for you and me is good enough. That's what Peter's writing. So there are two remaining questions this morning for you and me. Number one, do you have this living hope? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you admitted your rebellion of sin? Have you thrown yourself at the mercy of the Savior? Listen, I'm glad you're watching. I'm glad you're joining us. But listen, watching me online, doing a few good works, going to Don Pepe for lunch, got my plug in, all right? That doesn't get you any closer to heaven. It really doesn't. Okay? You don't earn a good righteousness, or you don't earn a right standing for before God for that. Listen, no matter what you do, you will always fall short. You see, God's grace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And you and I need to turn there. Do you have this living hope? This is what's going to keep you during this time, and this is going to keep you beyond this time. Number two, child of God, are you living in light of this hope? Do you rejoice? Have you forgotten your inheritance? Have you been so busy feeding the fear that you have not even remembered to thank the Lord for everything else? This side of heaven and everything else that awaits us on that side of heaven. Feast on your inheritance. Think about that. Do you find yourself filled with gratitude? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote the following. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Ponder those words. You and I are so busy. Resurrection Sunday calls us to evaluate our focus. This pandemic has caused many to lose focus. And if you and I are not careful, we are focusing on human achievement. We're focusing on what? Our loving our neighbor so much that we forget that we need to love God. And it's good to love our neighbor. It's good to reach out. It's good to unite our efforts and meet needs. But remember, they all fall short when it comes to a right standing before God. It starts with loving God. Knowing God. Do you know Him? What's your focus? Is your focus on this world or is your focus on the next? Are you swallowed up by life's problems or are you rejoicing in God's solution to those problems in Jesus Christ? Are you living your life trusting in your power or His? Listen, are you living that hope? Refocus. Refocus. Resurrection Sunday not only calls us to evaluate our focus, but calls us to lift our focus. It challenges us to remember that the living hope is the anchor, is the anchor. Listen, Resurrection Sunday means a lot, not because of traditions. Traditions is, you know, you wear your Sunday best. We're going to have some family lunch. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's not about the traditions. We believe in Resurrection Sunday because this event in history changed the world. It changed us. And it has changed us forever. Amen? That's God's word for you this morning. That's God's word. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He calls us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We have an inheritance. It's kept for us, and we are kept by God. Amen? Let me pray. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go through some announcements. Listen, if God's Word has spoken to you powerfully, and you need further assistance, if you need to know, hey, what's my next step? I want to be right with the Lord. Listen, contact us. Leave a comment there in the thread. Contact Pines Baptist Church. We will sit down with you, at least virtually maybe. All right? We'll talk to you on the phone. We can create some type of meeting where we can talk and discuss your future. Your eternity, the afterlife. For you, child of God, you need prayer and you need to be reminded, and we can rejoice and we can talk. Give us a call at the church office. We'll be more than happy to sit down and again to talk with you and to pray with you. Let me pray again, and again we'll go through some announcements and we'll go from there. All right, let me pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this time. We're grateful to you for your word. Thank you for being with us and for ministering to us through your word. Thank you for Peter, whom you used to connect the reality of the resurrection to a living hope. Many, many of your own today, many that are watching perhaps for the very first time, need to know that there's hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Father, if there's someone here that needs to know, if there's someone watching that needs to experience the new birth, would you grant it to them now, even now? Work upon their lives. Work upon their will. Work upon their who they are, their affections. Speak to them as only you can. And for your own, would you remind us how great you are, how merciful, how kind. Thank you. Thank you for causing the new birth. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for a great Savior. We love you. We trust you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, that's right. Amen. Amen. Listen, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to share this on your timeline, on social media, whatever platforms you use, so you can get the word out and the word of God can remain, okay, free to travel and to accomplish God's will for his word. All right. Listen, let me just give you some announcements. Again, I miss not having you here in person. This will never be enough. I don't care how fancy we can make it up here. This will never be the same. In a way, I'm glad we're not fancy, because I don't want you getting comfortable. This is not church through the internet. This is not the internet church. This is not PBC internet church. All right? So I miss you guys. We're looking forward to the day. What a great day. What a great day it'll be. The day we can rejoice. We can come back together and greet one another. And, oh, man, you won't mind me preaching long that day. Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I'm pushing it a little bit more. Even the people here are already looking at their watches. But oh well. I digress. Listen, food distribution. We had a great 3 weeks. Okay, three times we did it. One of the people from the city called us the God Squad. The God Squad. That was cool. If we would have kept this going, I would have gotten some t-shirts. I'm telling you now, the God Squad, COVID response team. You know what I mean? It was great. But listen, it did come to an end. I did have a PPM moment this past Wednesday. That's a proud pastor moment. Don't fill in the blanks. Right? Proud pastor moment. I looked at our volunteers, and it was great to see so many people just respond for the last three Wednesdays and just be here, hard work, help, you know, 500 cars, 600 cars at a time. It was a phenomenal time. But that has come to an end. The city of Pembroke Pines is taking over the food distribution. It begins, I think, this coming Tuesday over there at City Center. You'll need to contact the city if you're in need of that. But thankful to the Lord for everyone who helped in one way or another, whether you were praying, whether you were here, listen, you were part of that God Squad. I love that. All right. So just keep your ears open, your eyes open. We're going to get more things coming your way. Perhaps we can gather some other way. All right. We'll talk to you about it. The men's prayer group is going well on Monday mornings and Friday mornings at 7:30. If you're part of that, listen, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:30. If you want to be a part of that, contact me directly. And we'll send you the invite. It's through that Zoom thing. And so we're still learning how to use it. A lot of it is my problem. But I'm trying. All right. The Bible study for the men, again through Zoom, starts this Wednesday. If you're a part of that, if you're a part of our prayer group on Friday, you know that. We sent you some links. If you want to be a part of that this coming Wednesday night at 7 p.m., contact me directly and I'll get you the information. You need to watch a video, and then we're going to, after you've watched that video, we're studying the book of Job. Okay? We're going through the book of Job, and after you watch the video, we're going to spend some time discussing it. We're not going to watch the video together. That's on your own. So by Wednesday at 7, you've watched it and you're ready to discuss. Okay? Hey, listen, again, thank you to everyone for your financial support. We're hoping to communicate a financial update to you in the coming days, not only finances overall, but also with what's going on with the church property. But we'll put something on email, and we'll let you know. Okay, but we still need your financial support. So please, please keep doing that. Snail mail still works. All right, you can send it. You can go online. That's how I'm planning on doing it. And, you know, PinesBaptistChurch.org, and scroll down, find that give button. However you want to do it. And at the same time, if you've suffered loss, because listen, the longer this lasts, the greater the challenge financially. So I don't want you to think that, hey, it's Pastor Lewis and the Bora Bora Fund, all right? Because I'm going to start a Bora Bora Baptist Church. No, I'm not, all right? But we need you to remain faithful so we can help others. I'm glad and I'm grateful to those of you who have contacted me directly and said, Pastor, the Lord has laid upon me, you know, the reality that, listen, if you hear people who are suffering financially, you know, let me know. But listen, the longer it takes to go back to employment, it's going to be a struggle. So if you're struggling, let us know. Contact me, contact one of the church leaders, and we'll try to help you as best as we can. Again, remember, when personal finances suffer, church finances suffer. For the same way, but we're here because we're in this together. Okay, don't forget to practice New Testament Christianity. All right, continue to pray for one another, continue to love one another in practical ways. Check up on one another, call, FaceTime, WhatsApp, whatever you use. It doesn't mean, listen, we're still functioning, there's still running water, there's still phone service. All right, just because we can't gather, all right, doesn't mean that we can be forgetful. All right, let's continue to pray for one another and call one another and check in with one another. All right, listen, once again, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this live stream. Once again, share it so we can get the word out about Pines Baptist Church, about what God is doing here. I sure hope you'll join us next Sunday, 10:30, either through Facebook or our website. Let us know if you had some trouble logging in or any technical issues. We'll try our best to resolve them. We've been working on it from week to week to week. All right. Thanks again for watching and participating. Let me read you some two verses that'll serve as our closing prayer. It's a benediction from Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And God's people said, amen. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week. Bye-bye.